2852, verse 18. And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast hearkened to my voice. And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, signifies the salvation of all who are in good. Because thou hast hearkened to my voice, signifies by the union of his human essence with his divine essence. 2853. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That this signifies the salvation of all who are in good is evident from the signification of being blessed as being to be enriched with celestial and spiritual good. See number 981, 1096, 1420, 1422. Here, to be saved, because spoken of those who are saved. That to be blessed has a comprehensive meaning is well known. From the signification of seed as being the faith of charity, see number 1025, 1447, 1610, and from the signification of the nations of the earth as being those who are in good, see number 1159, 1258 to 1260, 1416, 1849. Moreover, in these words there is contained the following arcanum, that through the church, which is here the earth, number 662, 1066, 1067, 1262, those are saved who are out of the church. For as just stated, thy seed denotes the faith of charity, and no others are in the faith of charity than those within the church. For the faith of charity is truth of doctrine adjoined to good of life. The case is this. The Lord's kingdom on earth consists of all those who are in good, who, though scattered over the whole earth, are still one, and as members constitute one body. Such is the Lord's kingdom in the heavens, where the whole heaven represents one man, which is therefore also called the grand man. Number 684, 1276. And what is wonderful and hitherto unknown, all parts of the human body correspond to societies in heaven. And therefore it is sometimes said that some societies belong to the province of the head, some to the province of the eye, others to that of the chest, and so on. Which correspondence will of the Lord's divine mercy be spoken of by itself. The case is the same with the Lord's church on earth, where the church is like the heart and lungs, while those outside the church answer to the parts of the body which are supported and live from the heart and lungs. Hence it is manifest that without a church somewhere on the earth, the human race could not subsist, as the body could not without the heart and lungs. See number 468, 637, 931, 2054. From this cause it is that whenever any church is consummated, that is, becomes no church because there is no longer any charity, a new one is of the Lord's providence always raised up, as when the most ancient church called man perished, a new one was created by the Lord which was called Noah and was the ancient church that was after the flood. And when this degenerated and became none, the Jewish and Israelitish representative church was instituted. And when this became altogether extinct, the Lord then came into the world and set up again a new one. And this for the purpose that there might be conjunction of heaven with the human race through the church. This is also what is signified by, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. 2854. Because thou hast hearkened to my voice. That this signifies by the union of the Lord's human essence with his divine essence is evident from all that precedes, of which this is the conclusion. To hearken to the voice signifies that he underwent the utmost of temptation and thus united his human essence to his divine essence. That the Lord united his human to his divine, and his divine to his human, by continual temptations and victories, may be seen above. Number 1737, 1813. And that by this union he saved the human race. Number 1676 at the end, 1990, 2016, 2025. From this, the human race has all its salvation. It is the common opinion that the Father sent the Son to suffer the hardest things, even to the death of the cross, and thus that by looking upon the passion and merit of the Son, he has mercy upon the human race. But everyone can know that Yahuwah does not have mercy by any looking upon the Son, for he is mercy itself. But that the arcanum of the Lord's coming into the world is that he united in himself the divine to the human and the human to the divine, which could not be done except through the most grievous things of temptations, and thus that by that union it became possible for salvation to reach the human race, in which no celestial and spiritual or even natural good any longer remained. And it is this union which saves those who are in the faith of charity. It is the Lord himself who shows the mercy. 2855, verse 19. And Abraham returned unto his boys, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Abraham returned unto his boys, signifies conjunction again with his former rational, and they rose up, signifies a greater degree of elevation, and went together to Beersheba, signifies advancement in the doctrine of charity and faith, which is divine, and to which human rational things were adjoined. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba, signifies that the Lord is that doctrine itself. 2856. Abraham returned unto his boys. That this signifies conjunction again with the former rational is evident from the signification of the boys, as being the former or merely human rational which was to serve the divine rational. See above, number 2782, 2792. And from the signification of returning to them as being to be conjoined. See also above, number 2795. That the Lord separated the merely human rational from himself when he underwent the most grievous temptations is evident from the explication of verse 5, number 2791 to 2793, 2795. And that after the temptations he again conjoined himself with that rational is evident from what has been said before, number 2795, and from these things in this verse. 2857. And they rose up. That this signifies a greater degree of elevation is evident from the signification of rising up, as when mentioned in the word, being some elevation which is signified, number 2401. Here the elevation of the rational after temptation. For after temptations the rational was always elevated, and this takes place also with man. Every temptation in which a man overcomes elevates his mind and the things which belong to his mind, for it confirms his goods and truths and superadds new ones. Number 1692, 1717, 1740, 2272. 2858. And they went together to Beersheba. That this signifies advancement in the doctrine of charity and faith, which is divine, and to which human rational things were adjoined, is evident from the signification of Beersheba as being the doctrine of charity and faith which was divine, and to which human rational things were adjoined. See number 2614, 2723. The human rational things are signified by the boys, number 2782, 2792, 2856, and that the doctrine to which they were adjoined was divine is signified by their going together with Abraham. See number 2767. 2859. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. That this signifies that the Lord is that doctrine itself is evident from the signification of dwelling, from the representation of Abraham, from the signification of Beersheba, explained before, and at the same time from the things which just precede. To dwell in Beersheba is to be in doctrine, but when predicated of the Lord, it is to be doctrine. Just as to dwell in heaven, which is also said of the Lord, signifies not only that he is in heaven, but also that he himself is heaven. For he is the all of heaven. Number 551, 552. That the Lord is the Word is known, and therefore the Lord is doctrine. Number 3531. For all doctrine is from the Word. The all of doctrine in the Word is from the Lord, and is concerning the Lord. In the internal sense of the word, nothing but the Lord and his kingdom is treated of, as has been shown many times. It is the Lord's divine human, of which the internal sense of the word especially treats, and the all of doctrine in the word, as regards man, is to worship him and love him. 2860, verses 20, 21, 22, and 23. And it came to pass after these words that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she also hath borne children unto Nahor thy brother, Uz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the father of Aram, and Kesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight did Milcah bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. It came to pass after these words, signifies the things done relating to those who are within the church. That it was told Abraham, saying, signifies the Lord's perception. Behold, Milcah, she also hath borne children unto Nahor thy brother. Signifies those out of the church who are in brotherhood from good. Uz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the father of Aram. And Kesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel, signify various religions and their modes of worship. Bethuel begat Rebekah, signifies from good the affection of truth. These eight did Milcah bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, signifies a second class of those who are saved. 2861. It came to pass after these words, that this signifies the things done relating to those who are within the church, is evident from the signification of words as being actual things. In the original language, things are called words, and thus after these words means after the things done. In what precedes, from verse 13 to this verse, the salvation of the spiritual by the Lord's divine human is treated of, and indeed those who are in good within the church. These are they who can be truly spiritual, because they have the word, and thus the truths of faith. By truths of doctrine conjoined with good of life, man becomes spiritual. All spiritual quality is from this. But the nations without the church, because they have not the word, and thus not the truths of faith, so long as they live in the world, although in the good of charity, are still not truly spiritual until they have been instructed in the truths of faith. And as most of these nations cannot be instructed in the world, those who have lived in mutual charity and in obedience are of the Lord's providence and mercy instructed in the other life, and then receive the truths of faith easily and become spiritual. That the state and lot of these nations is such in the other life may be seen above, number 2589 to 2604. As those within the church who are saved by the Lord's divine human are treated of in what precedes, in the things which follow to the end of this chapter, those out of the church who are saved are treated of, and are signified by those who were born to Nahor, Abraham's brother, from Milcah his wife, and Reumah his concubine. This also follows in the series. He who has not become acquainted with the internal sense of the word would suppose that these things relate merely to the genealogy of the house of Terah, being given on account of Rebekah, who became Isaac's wife, and also on account of Bethuel, whose two granddaughters, Leah and Rachel, became Jacob's wives. But as has been very often said and shown, all the names in the word signify actual things. number 1224, 1264, 1876, 1888. And unless they signified such things, the word would not be divine, but worldly. From this it is also evident that these things which follow relate in series to the Lord's spiritual church, but to that which is among the Gentiles, and this through Nahor, Abraham's brother, in order that those who are in brotherhood from good may be signified, as follows, number 2863. 2862. And it was told Abraham, saying, that this signifies the Lord's perception is evident from the signification of telling, as being to think and reflect, and of saying, as being to perceive, explained often before. The Lord's reflecting and perceiving, treated of in the internal sense of the word, cannot be expressed in the historical form in any other way than by telling and saying. In itself also, reflection and perception is an internal telling and saying. 2863. Behold Milcah, she also hath borne children unto Nahor thy brother. That this signifies those out of the church who are in brotherhood from good is also evident from what was said before respecting Milcah and Nahor, number 1363, 1369, 1370. For Terah had three sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran, and that they worshipped other gods may be seen above, number 1356. Milcah was the daughter of Haran, who became Nahor's wife, number 2369. And Haran died upon the faces of Terah in Ur of the Chaldees, number 1365 to 1368. Hence it is evident what is signified by Milcah and Nahor, namely by Milcah the truth of those nations, and by Nahor their good. That there were truths among the Gentiles is evident from many things, for it is known that formerly there was wisdom and intelligence among the nations, as that they acknowledged one God, and wrote concerning him in a holy manner. Also that they acknowledged the immortality of the soul, and the life after death, and also the happiness of the good, and the unhappiness of the evil. And further, that they had for their law the precepts of the Decalogue, namely that God is to be worshipped, that parents are to be honored, that men must not kill, steal, commit adultery, nor covet the property of others. Nor were they content to be of this character in externals, but were so in internals. It is the same at this day. The better behaved Gentiles from all parts of the earth sometimes speak better on such subjects than Christians do. Nor do they merely speak better things, but also live according to them. These and many other truths are among the Gentiles, and conjoin themselves with the good which they have from the Lord, from the conjunction of which they are in a state to receive still more truths, because one truth recognizes another, and truths easily consociate themselves together, for they are connected with and related to each other. Hence it is that they who have been in good in the world easily receive the truths of faith in the other life. The falsities that are with them do not conjoin themselves with their good, but only apply themselves to it in such manner as to be separable from it. The falsities which have been conjoined remain, but those which have been merely applied are separated, and they are separated at the time when the men learn the truths of faith and imbue themselves with them. Every truth of faith removes and separates what is false, so that at length the man is averse to it and shuns it. From all this we can see what kind of persons are signified by the sons whom Milcah bare to Nahor, Abraham's brother, namely, those out of the church who are in brotherhood from good. 2864. Uz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the father of Aram, and Kesed and Hazo, and Pildash and Jidlaf and Bethuel. That these signify various religions and their modes of worship is evident from the fact that, as before said, names signify actual things. The things which these names signify are religions and their modes of worship, as also are signified by the names which are found in Genesis 5 and 11. But what each name and each son here signifies cannot so well be told, as they are merely named. Uz and Buz are also named in Jeremiah 25, verses 20 and 23, but among several other names. Uz is also found in Lamentations 4, verse 21, Job 1, verse 1, concerning whom see Genesis 10, verse 23, Numbers 12:33 and 12:34. 2865. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. That this signifies from good their affection of truth is evident from the representation of Bethuel and of Rebekah, treated of in chapter 24, which follows. 2866. These eight did Milcah bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. That this signifies a second class of those who are saved is evident from the signification of eight, and from its being again said that Milcah bare to Nahor Abraham's brother. Because the eighth day is the first day of the following week, therefore eight signifies something that is distinct from what has gone before. See number 2044. Here, therefore, it denotes another class, and the number was added for the sake of this signification. Milcah's bearing them to Nahor, Abraham's brother, signifies those out of the church who are in brotherhood from good, as shown above, number 2863, 2865. Here, being the conclusion, it signifies the same, and in addition, the fact that they are saved. 2867, verse 24. And his concubine, whose name was Reumah, she also bare Tebah, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. His concubine, whose name was Reumah, signifies Gentiles who are in idolatrous worship and in good. She also bare Tebah, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah, signifies their various religions. These constitute a third class of the spiritual who are saved. 2868. His concubine, whose name was Reumah. That this signifies Gentiles who are in idolatrous worship and in good is evident from the things which precede. For in the former place are the Gentiles who are signified by the sons who were born to Nahor from his wife. And in this place are the Gentiles signified by those born from his concubine. By those from the wife were signified, as before shown, the Gentiles out of the church who are in brotherhood from good, number 2863. Those now signified are those out of the church who are in idolatrous worship and in good. Thus these are not from so legitimate a stock as the former. Nevertheless, they are as if legitimate, for at that time children who were born of maidservants were adopted as legitimate, as is evident from the sons of Jacob who were born of the maidservants Bela and Zilpha, Genesis 30, verses 4 to 12. From whom tribes were derived equally as from those who were born of Leah and Rachel, and indeed without any difference. But that still there was a difference is evident from Genesis 33, verses 1, 2, 6, and 7. The maidservants, who were at that time given to the husband by the wife for the sake of procreating children, were called concubines, as is manifest from Bela, Rachel's maidservant, who is also called Jacob's concubine, Genesis 35, verse 22. That men should procreate children from maidservants or concubines was tolerated at that time, in order that those who are out of the church might thus be represented, and also those who are in a lower degree within the church. The name of this concubine, being said to be Reumah, involves her quality, number 1896, 2009, which here is exaltation, this being the meaning of the word Reumah. Concerning the state and lot of the nations and peoples who are out of the church, see above number 593, 932, 1032, 1059, 1327, 1328, 1366, 2049, 2051, 2284, 2589 to 2604. 2869. She also bare Tebah and Gaham and Thahash and Maacah. that this signifies their various religions and the kinds of worship from them, and that these constitute a third class of the spiritual who are saved, is evident from what was said above. Number 2864, 2866, 2868. Concerning man's freedom. 2870. Few know what freedom is and what non-freedom is. All that which is of any love and its delight appears to be freedom, and that which is contrary to these, non-freedom. What is of the love of self and the love of the world and of their cupidities appears to man as freedom, but it is infernal freedom. While what is of love to the Lord and of love toward the neighbor, consequently of the love of good and truth, is freedom itself and is celestial freedom. 2871. Infernal spirits do not know that there is any other freedom than that which is of the love of self and the love of the world, that is, of the cupidities of commanding, of persecuting and hating all who do not serve them, of tormenting everyone, of destroying the universe if they could for the sake of self, of taking away and claiming to themselves whatever is another's. When they are in these and similar things, they are in their freedom because they are in their delight. Their life consists in this freedom to such a degree that if it were taken away from them, nothing more of life would remain to them than that of a newborn infant. This was also shown by living experience. A certain evil spirit was in the persuasion that such things could be taken away from him, and that in this way he could come into heaven. Consequently, that his life could be miraculously changed into celestial life, on which account those loves, together with their cupidities, were taken away from him, which is done in the other life by dissociation. And he then appeared like an infant, paddling with his hands, which he could scarcely move. And he was at the same time in such a state as to be less able to think than any infant, and unable to speak anything at all, or to know anything. But he was soon restored to his delight, and thus to his freedom. From this it is manifest that it is impossible for anyone to come into heaven who has procured a life for himself from the love of self and the world, and consequently who is in the freedom of these loves. For if that life were taken away from such a person, he would not have anything of thought and will remaining. 2872. But celestial freedom is that which is from the Lord, and in it are all the angels in the heavens. As before said, this is the freedom of love to the Lord and mutual love, and thus of the affection of good and truth. The quality of this freedom may be seen from the fact that every one who is in it communicates his blessedness and happiness to another from inmost affection, and that it is a blessedness and happiness to him that he is able to communicate it. And because the universal heaven is such, it follows that every one is a center of all forms of blessedness and happiness, and that all these belong at the same time to each angel. The communication itself is effected by the Lord, by wonderful inflowings in an incomprehensible form, which is the form of heaven. This shows what celestial freedom is, and that it is from the Lord alone. 2873. How far distant celestial freedom, which is from the affection of good and truth, is from infernal freedom, which is from the affection of evil and falsity, is evident from the fact that when the angels in heaven merely think about such freedom as is from the affection of evil and falsity, or what is the same from the cupidities of the love of self and the world, they are immediately seized with internal pain. And on the other hand, when evil spirits merely think about the freedom which is from the affection of good and truth, or what is the same from the desires of mutual love, they at once come into anguish. And what is wonderful, so opposite is the one freedom to the other, that the freedom of the love of self in the world is hell to good spirits. And on the other hand, the freedom of love to the Lord and mutual love is hell to evil spirits. Hence all in the other life are distinct according to their kinds of freedom, or what is the same, according to their loves and affections, consequently according to the delights of their life, which is the same as according to their lives. For lives are nothing else than delights, and these are nothing else than affections which are of the loves. 2874. From this it is now evident what freedom is, namely, that it is to think and will from affection, and that the freedom is such as is the affection. Also, that the one freedom is infernal, and the other freedom celestial, and that infernal freedom is from hell, whereas celestial freedom is from the Lord. It is also evident that they who are in infernal freedom cannot come into celestial freedom, which would be coming from hell into heaven, unless the whole of their life is taken away from them. Also, that no one can come into celestial freedom except by reformation from the Lord, and that he is then introduced into it by the affection of good and truth, that is, by the good of life in which the truth of doctrine is being implanted. 2875. The good of life, or the affection of good, is insinuated by the Lord by an internal way, without man's knowing anything about it, but the truth of doctrine or faith by an external way into the memory, whence it is called forth by the Lord in his own time and according to his own order, and is conjoined with the affection of good. This is done in man's freedom, for as before said, man's freedom is from affection. Such is the insemination and enrooting of faith. Whatever is done in freedom is conjoined, but that which is done under compulsion is not conjoined, as may be seen from considering that by no possibility can anything be conjoined except that by which we are affected. Affection is the very thing that receives. To receive anything contrary to the affection is to receive it contrary to the life. Hence it is manifest that truth of doctrine or faith cannot be received except by the affection of it. But such as is the affection, such is the reception. It is only the affection of truth and good that receives the truth of faith, for they agree, and because they agree, they can join themselves together. 2876. As no one can be reformed except in freedom, therefore freedom is never taken away from a man, in so far as the appearance is concerned. For it is an eternal law that every one should be in freedom as to his interiors, that is, as to his affections and thoughts, in order that the affection of good and truth may be implanted in him. 2877. Whenever the affection of truth and the affection of good are insinuated by the Lord, which is done without man's knowledge, he then imbues himself with truth and does good in freedom, because from affection. For when anything is done from affection, then, as before said, there is freedom, and the truth of faith conjoins itself with the good of charity. Unless a man had freedom in everything he thinks and wills, the freedom of thinking truth and of willing good could never be insinuated by the Lord into anyone. For in order that a man may be reformed, he must think truth as of himself, and do good as of himself. And what is done as of oneself is done in freedom. Unless this were so, there would never be any reformation or regeneration. 2878. There are innumerable causes from which and on account of which a man loves to learn truth and to will good, very many from the world and also very many from the body. And sometimes these things are not done for the sake of heaven and still less for the sake of the Lord. A man is thus introduced by the Lord into truth and good by affections, and one man altogether differently from another, each one according to his disposition, innate and acquired. And as he is continually being introduced into truth and good by affections, and thus continually by freedom, and at length into the affections of spiritual truth and spiritual good, the Lord alone knows the times and the states, and he alone arranges and governs them in application to each one's genius and life. This shows why man has freedom. 2879. The Lord flows in through man's inmost with good, and there conjoins truth with it. Their root must be in the inmost. Unless a man is in freedom interiorly, as to all his affections and as to all his thoughts, he can never be so disposed that good and truth may take any root. 2880. Nothing else appears to a man as his, or what is the same, as his proprium, except that which flows from freedom. The reason is that all affection which is of love is his veriest life, and to act from affection is to act from life, that is, from himself, and thus from what is his, or what is the same, from his proprium. In order, therefore, that man may receive a proprium that is celestial, such as have the angels in heaven, he is kept in freedom, and through freedom he is introduced into it, in the way already stated. It may be known to everyone that to worship the Lord from freedom appears as if it were from oneself, or from one's proprium, but that to worship him under compulsion is not from oneself, but from a force from without, or from some other source, compelling him to do it. Thus that worship from freedom is worship itself, and that worship under compulsion is no worship. 2881. If man could have been reformed by compulsion, there would not be any man in the universe who would not be saved, for nothing would be easier for the Lord than to compel man to fear him, to worship him, and indeed, as it were, to love him, the means being innumerable. But as that which is done under compulsion is not conjoined, and thus is not appropriated, it is therefore the furthest possible from the Lord to compel anyone. So long as a man is in combats, or is one of the church militant, it appears as if the Lord compels the man, and thus that he has no freedom, for he is then continually combating against the love of self and of the world, thus against the freedom into which he was born and into which he has grown up. Hence comes the appearance just referred to. But that in the combats in which he overcomes, the freedom is stronger than when out of the combats, a freedom not from himself, but from the Lord, and still appearing as his, may be seen above, number 1937, 1947. 2882. Most of all does man believe that he has no freedom from the fact that he has learned that he cannot do good and think truth of himself. But let him not believe that anyone ever has or ever had any freedom of thinking truth and doing good of himself, not even the man who, from the state of perfection in which he was called a likeness and image of God. For the freedom of thinking the truth of faith and of doing the good of charity all flows in from the Lord. The Lord is good itself and truth itself, and is hence their fountain. All the angels are in such freedom, and indeed in the very perception that what we have just stated is the truth. The inmost angels perceive how much is from the Lord and how much from themselves, and so far as it is from the Lord, they are in happiness, but so far as it is from themselves, they are not in what is happy. 2883. In order, therefore, that a man may receive a proprium that is celestial, he must do good of himself and think truth of himself, but still must know, and when reformed, must think and believe, that all the good and all the truth are from the Lord, even as to the very least of all, and this because it is so. While it's being given to man to think that it is from himself, is in order that the good and truth may become as if his proprium. 2884. The freedom of the love of self and of the world and of their cupidities is anything but freedom, being complete slavery. But still it is called freedom, just as love, affection, and delight are so called in both senses. And yet the love of self and of the world is anything but love, being hatred, and so are its affection and delight. They are named according to what they appear, not according to what they are. 2885. No one can know what slavery is and what freedom is unless he knows the origin of them, which no one can know except from the Word. And unless he knows how the case is with man in regard to his affections, which are of his will, and his thoughts, which are of his understanding. 2886. As to man's affections and thoughts, the case is this. No one, whoever he may be, whether man, spirit, or angel, can will and think from himself, but from others, nor can these others will and think from themselves, but all again from others, and so on, and thus each one from the first of life, which is the Lord. That which is unconnected has no existence. Evils and falsities have connection with the hells. From the hells come the willing and thinking of those who are in evils and falsities, and also their love, affection, and delight, consequently their freedom. But goods and truths have connection with heaven, and the willing and thinking of those who are in them is from heaven, and so also are their love, affection, and delight, and therefore their freedom. From this we may see whence comes the one freedom and whence the other. That the case is really so is most fully known in the other life, but is at this day altogether unknown in the world. 2887. With man there are evil spirits constantly, and also angels. By the spirits he communicates with the hells, and by the angels with the heavens. If these spirits and angels were to be taken away from him, he would in a moment be devoid of willing and thinking, thus of life. That this is so may seem a paradox, and yet it is most true. But concerning the spirits and angels who are with man, of the Lord's divine mercy elsewhere. 2888. The truth is that the life of everyone, both of man, of spirit, and also of angel, flows in solely from the Lord, who is life itself, and diffuses itself through the whole heaven and also through hell, thus into everyone, and this in an order and series incomprehensible. But the life which flows in is received by each one according to his disposition. Good and truth are received as good and truth by the good, but good and truth are received as evil and falsity by the evil, and are also turned into evil and falsity in them. The case with this is comparatively like the light of the sun, which diffuses itself into all the objects of the earth, but is received according to the quality of each object, and becomes of a beautiful color in beautiful forms, and of a disagreeable color in disagreeable forms. In the world, this is an arcanum, but nothing is better known in the other life. That I might know that influx is of such a nature, it has been given me to speak with the spirits and angels who were with me, and also to feel and perceive their influx, and this so often that I cannot number the times. But I know that the fallacy will prevail, the fallacy, that is to say, that men will believe that they will from themselves and think from themselves, and thus have life from themselves, whereas nothing is further from the truth. 2889. Evil spirits cannot possibly apprehend that they do not live from themselves, and that they are only organs of life, still less that there is no life except that which is from good and truth, and still less that they do not begin to live until the life of the cupidities of evil and of the persuasions of falsity in which they are is extinguished. They believe that if they were deprived of these, there could be nothing of life remaining, whereas the truth is that when they have lost the life of the cupidities of evil and of the persuasions of falsity, they then first begin to live, and that the Lord, together with the good and truth in which life solely consists, is not till then received, and that intelligence and wisdom, and thus the veriest life, then flow in, and are afterwards immensely increased, and this with delight, blessedness, and happiness, and thus with inmost joy, and with ineffable variety to eternity. 2890. The evil spirits who are with man, through whom he communicates with hell, regard him no otherwise than as a vile slave, for they infuse into him their cupidities and their persuasions, and thus lead him whithersoever they will. But the angels through whom man communicates with heaven regard him as a brother and insinuate into him affections of good and truth, and thus lead him by freedom, not whither they will, but whither it pleases the Lord. From this we can see of what kind the one freedom is and of what kind the other, and that it is slavery to be led by the devil and freedom to be led by the Lord. 2891. Spirits fresh from this world severely torment themselves by trying to comprehend how no one can do good of himself or think truth of himself except from the Lord, believing that thus they would be like machines, having no control of anything, and that if this is really so, they should let their hands hang down and suffer themselves to be acted upon. But they were told that they ought by all means to think, to will, and to do good of themselves, and that in no other way could they have a proprium that is celestial, and celestial freedom, but that still they should acknowledge that the good and truth are not from them, but from the Lord. And they are instructed that all the angels are in such an acknowledgement, nay, in the perception that it is so. And the more exquisitely they perceive that they are led by the Lord, and thus are in the Lord, the more are they in freedom. 2892. He who lives in good and believes that the Lord governs the universe, and that all the good which is of love and charity, and all the truth which is of faith, are from the Lord alone, nay, that life is from him, and thus that from him we live, move, and have our being, is in such a state that he can be gifted with celestial freedom, and together with it, with peace. For he then trusts solely in the Lord, and has no care for other things, and is certain that all things are tending to his good, his blessedness, and his happiness to eternity. But he who believes that he governs himself is continually disquieted, being borne along into cupidities and into solicitude respecting future things, and thus into manifold anxieties. And because he so believes, the cupidities of evil and the persuasions of falsity also adhere to him. 2893. Good spirits wondered exceedingly that the man of the church at this day does not believe that all the evils and falsities within him flow in from hell, and all the goods and truths from the Lord, when yet he has learned this from the Word, and also from the doctrine of faith. And when any one has done a grievous evil, everybody says that he has suffered himself to be led by the devil, and when any one has done good, that he has suffered himself to be led by the Lord. End of English Volume 3.